Well, guys, after all these many months of talking and campaigning and more talking and then some talking, it's actually time to start caucusing and voting and stuff. What do you think? You excited?
I'm very excited. Look, I've done the Iowa thing for decades now, several presidential cycles, and that's why I'm really excited about our guest today. But the temperature up there is going to be ridiculous. We'll get into that, I'm sure. But, you know, this is what it's all about, getting people out. And it's time to vote. We get to figure out kind of how this whole primary shakes out. I'm pumped about it.
I know. Everybody's had theories. Sunny, you're actually going out to Iowa. Yes?
I am. Yep. This is just my second cycle of going. So I am not looking forward to the weather. It's going to be much colder this time than it was last time. I was with y'all last time.
It was pretty cold.
Yeah, but we didn't have snow, I don't think.
Yeah, we did. I remember going for a run in the parking lot of the hotel. It was like tundra out there. Anyway, let's not keep our guests waiting. It's going to be a good one. We have somebody who really, really knows what's going on in Iowa, who will walk us through everything and all the possibilities and what's been going on, because this is the Line Drive Podcast. And we are joined now by the great Simon Conway, WHO Radio in Des Moines, Iowa. Simon, thank you so much for taking time out of what I know is actually, people say this all the time, but your schedule is actually extraordinarily busy.
Brutal.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I think it's important that people understand what's happening here.
Well, that's the goal here. That's the goal.
Yeah, no one's better equipped to tell us what's happening than you, Simon. So I've been going through Iowa for decades with candidates, and they all have to come through certain radio shows and kiss the ring and talk to the audience and face tough questions, because you're no easy pushover for sure. And your show is one that everyone has to stop at multiple times to get that voice out, get that message out. So you've been privileged to see some of the greatest and worst politicians of all time in your studio and have those conversations. And so with kind of Iowa on the radar coming up in just a few days, we really kind of want to get into the nitty gritty of what's happening on the ground there, what you see, the lay of the land, et cetera. So having been on your show before, I think Tim has been on it too. It's interesting to have the roles reversed. So we're happy that you're on, and we know that our audience will absolutely drool over your expertise and what's happening in Iowa.
Normally they drool over Hogan. So sorry.
Well, we all understand that. You mentioned the weather. It's actually really crucial, I think, this time. I think the weather is really going to play a role. And the reason I think it's going to play a role is because we're going to find out exactly how enthusiastic people's supporters are. Because it's not just, oh, yeah, I like candidate A. It's, I like candidate A, and I'm going to go out in minus 20 degrees and maybe snow on the ground at 7 o'clock at night to prove it.
And that's not wind chills. That's
that is with wind chill. We're expecting an actual of somewhere between minus 7 and minus 10 at 7 p.m. actual. But we're looking at winds between 10 and 20 miles an hour. On top of that. So yes, it is going to be very, very, very cold. And then you've got a unique situation, one that I haven't seen before. And I know you guys have been coming up here for a while, but I don't think I've ever seen a situation where we have one candidate completely dominating the polls. It's been that way since the very start. It's still that way right now. And are you really, and I pick him at random for real. If you're somebody that wants Ron DeSantis, are you going to go out there on that night and say, you know what, Trump's on 50. Is it really going to make a difference if I show up in this weather? And so it becomes not just the popularity contest, it becomes the enthusiasm contest. And based on what I've seen, Trump supporters would crawl over a broken glass to vote for him.
Can you explain, though, for our audience, and a lot of people I think know, but because you're an expert here, kind of tell them the difference between a caucus and a primary. Like,
Sure. Primary is real easy, right? The polls open at 7 in the morning and they may close at 7 at night. And you've got that 12 hours to go and cast your vote in the way you would cast it in a general election. It exactly works exactly the same way, except you have to be a registered Republican or a registered Democrat in most states, not in all states. Sometimes you can vote for anybody you like. A caucus is entirely different. So first of all, you show up at the designated place at a specific time. And there are plenty of rural communities in Iowa. So, you know, a caucus site could be someone's front room and there might be eight of you. And that's not an exaggeration. That's a real thing. So that could happen. Then, of course, you've got the bigger cities like Des Moines and Cedar Rapids and places like that. Those are in schools or churches. So those things are kind of normal. But everyone goes in and sits down. There's party business as well that has to be taken care of, and delegate business as well. And the sensible ones that want everybody to stick around, they do that first. So you might be in a very chilly church hall somewhere waiting for the moment to cast your vote. Once you've done all the party business in the bigger places, well, you might see actual candidates that come in and say, vote for me because. Or you might see surrogates. You might see Eric Trump. You might see the First Lady of Florida show up, right? You might see Nikki Haley's kids because her husband is currently deployed. You might see Ramaswamy's wife. They're going to go around as many caucus sites as they possibly can and say, vote for me or vote for my candidate because. And you have to listen to a bunch of those, and then you get to make your mind up. And the way they do it in Iowa is they actually give you a piece of paper and a pencil, and you write the name of the person that you want on it. So you want Trump, you literally write Trump, and you fold up your piece of paper, and you put it in a box, and then somebody counts them all up.
Wow, that's cool.
The Democrats, however, in Iowa, they do it completely differently. They're not even doing it anymore, but it's fascinating to know what they do.
They actually vote with their feet, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
So you go into an open hall. There are no chairs. And there's someone with a sign saying, hey, we got the Biden people over here. And a crowd gathers around the Biden people or the whoever people. Right. And then they figure out who doesn't have enough support and they knock those out. And then those people reconvene. They move across the room to somebody else. Fascinating, weird stuff, man. But that's what they used to do. They're breaking Iowa law. They think they found a way around Iowa law. Iowa law says Iowa shall have the first in the nation caucus. That's what it says. And the Democrats in Iowa are not doing that because apparently they're more scared of the Democratic Party than they are of the state of Iowa. We shall see what happens. It's going to be interesting. Wow. Little subplot story there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they did it like that. It's very interesting to learn. You know, yeah. Simon Hogan put it so eloquently about your radio show and how important it is for all the candidates to join. I mean, surrogates try to get on it. Everybody just wants to be on your show. It is a rite of passage. But I'm wondering if you could just share maybe some anecdotally, what kind of responses do you get when you have certain candidates on? Do you have callers that call in and say, oh, I loved what DeSantis had to say, or yes, I'm voting for Trump?
It's very interesting. We get people coming in saying, oh, look, you're in the tank for insert candidate name. But I know I'm doing it right because it doesn't matter who I'm interviewing. I get those emails. So that tells me we're doing it right. And you know, it's a fascinating process. It's a privilege to have a front row seat to it, which I do. But we're on multiple radio stations. It's good for the candidates. It's what makes Iowa, Iowa, frankly. You know, if you are, I was going to say if you're a candidate with no money, and then I was going to talk about Ramaswamy, which would have been silly. But if you're Barack Obama, right, and you come to Iowa, you go into people's front rooms, and Obama was brilliant at this retail stuff, brilliant. And he came out of nowhere. If it started in New York, you would never have heard the name President Obama because he could not have competed where he was able to compete in Iowa. He could not have competed in a state like New York or California. They'd have just outspent him, period.
Well, that's, you know, Hogan tells stories about this from his days in on the presidential campaign trail. Not that they're over, of course, but, you know, in past days. Where somebody like Santorum or somebody like Mike Huckabee can have success in Iowa, and it does springboard you onto greater things. But like you've said, in the past year, just in the early parts of this conversation, this is really sort of unprecedented territory. Not only does Trump have a gigantic lead, over 50% in these polls, which is the margin that he's got in the polls anyway, is kind of unprecedented, but he also comes through basically in the role of incumbent, even though he is not currently in the White House. He's the closest thing that the Republicans have to an incumbent in this field. What do you think that weighs in? How does that factor in? Because I've thought from the beginning that perhaps this entire campaign was just impenetrable for anyone who is not Donald Trump, because the supermajority of Republican voters nationally, they either are firmly with him and want him to be president again, or they firmly believe that he deserves another crack at it. And maybe from the very beginning, that was insurmountable. I don't know. I guess we're about to begin to find out, but what's your read on that kind of thing?
We are about to begin to find out. So the first thing we're going to find out is how enthusiastic his supporters are because of that weather that's coming up on Monday. It is really relevant. I promise you it's relevant. So Ron DeSantis, who in theory is in second place here, right? I do say in theory, because you're talking about 200 to 250,000 people will show up on caucus night. I actually believe because of the weather, it might be 180,000 people across the entire state, which will have an effect. But at maximum, it's 250,000 people are going to show up and they're going to make their voices heard. If DeSantis doesn't massively outperform his polling here, I mean, I think he needs to be really high 20s, low 30s for to raise an eyebrow. If he doesn't outperform his polling here, there's an argument to say he's done, because if you look at New Hampshire, he might get his butt kicked in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And those two things together could be enough. And then, of course, you go to South Carolina. Well, that's Nikki Haley's home turf. He's not going to beat her there. So that would be three in a row where he's not done very well if he survives to South Carolina. So he could be gone. If he doesn't do very well in Iowa. Interestingly, he's trying to lower expectations in Iowa now. Originally, it was, we're going to win Iowa. And now it's, we're going to do very well in Iowa. So that's fascinating. It's subtle, but it's fascinating. Ramaswamy is telling me his internal polling says he's going to win it. I don't believe it.
That's hard to believe. Simon, would you be able to turn your monitor down a little bit? We can hear when we're talking, we can hear our own voices through your mic, I think.
How about that? Is that better?
We still want you to hear us. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Go ahead.
I think you hit on something, Simon, that's really important too, because let's just say the polling holds and DeSantis comes in second in Iowa. Nikki comes in second in New Hampshire. South Carolina comes around, Nikki's home turf. Trump still wins. Nikki loses her home state. That means DeSantis and Nikki will be 0-3 in the first three. And you know, that Iowa media, if you win Iowa, you are showered with praise for at least that week until New Hampshire, right? So like New Hampshire Eve. But interestingly enough, the calendar sets up too where that time between New Hampshire and South Carolina is a full month this year. Yep. So you get to leave the tundra of Iowa and the frostbite from New Hampshire and go down to 75 degrees Charleston and have a great time for a month. But is there any scenario that you see where, and these are all ifs, if those other two names don't win one of the first three states, that what are they going to do if they're 0-3? They're not going to somehow win Nevada or something, are they?
Right. I think if, again, I've given you the scenario for DeSantis. I think it has to be Iowa. He has to do really well in Iowa.
He put everything there.
If Nikki Haley, if you look at the public polling, and I've asked her on the air, I'm like, okay, what's your internal polling saying? And I was looking her in the eye and a little grin came across her face. So you have to read all this stuff, right? And she said it shows that we're surging, and I believe her. I believe that's what it's showing her. If she comes close to Trump in New Hampshire, I think that gives her a little boost into South Carolina. Yep. And it's game on. If that doesn't happen, and they're really all like sticking with the main polling, the national polling, it's hard to see how anyone goes beyond South Carolina, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It really right. is.
And because it costs money to keep going.
Who's going to write a check for Ron DeSantis if he gets the teens in Iowa and he gets shellacked in New Hampshire? Who's writing that check?
Yeah.
Right. That's a good question.
Well, we're touching on this a little bit, but I'm wondering if there's a situation where do we think anyone's going to drop out after Iowa? Do we think Vivek stays on through New Hampshire, through Nevada? Do we think anyone's going to drop out after Iowa?
I think the numbers are important and egos are important, aren't they? The only one that might stick around is Vivek, by the way, as in cake, just so you all know. Literally how he said it to me. He might stick around because he's self-financing. So it's up to him how much he wants to spend on it. So he might stick around, particularly if others drop out, he might stick around. His last commercial that is running in Iowa right now is "We love Donald Trump." Really, he says that.
Ramaswamy is running an ad?
Yeah. "We love this man, but they're never going to let him be president. So we can't let MAGA die with Donald Trump." That's his argument in Iowa. It's very interesting, isn't it?
That's interesting. Yes. That's kind of a twist on what was originally DeSantis' pitch, which was, you know, Trump without all the commotion, right?
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Chris Christie here.
Chris Christie is apparently scared of me. He won't come back to Iowa. I don't know what that's about, man.
Is that right? Well, to hear him tell it, he's not as scared of anybody.
It's funny to me that he won't come to Iowa. I mean, he came to Iowa last time and he got his butt kicked. But it's fascinating to me that he won't come here. And he's put everything into New Hampshire. The best polling I've seen for him is 12%. That's nowhere near enough. I mean, he has to be done, doesn't he? He's put everything into New Hampshire. If he gets 12%, that should be enough for him to go home.
But if he gets 12%, he'll finish ahead of DeSantis, probably.
If you believe the polling, yeah.
Right. That's true. So let me ask you about this. Speaking of money, and I think Ramaswamy, if I'm not mistaken, just sold like $30 million worth of stock, I think, to be able to keep his campaign going. Or I think that's what the purpose of the big stock sale was. So self-funding.
No, that was me.
Was that you, Hogan?
Oh, I sold $30 million of stock, yeah.
Did you? Oh, I'm sorry. And you're still drinking out coffee out of that ratty old Miss cup. I'm sorry.
I sold $3 of stock.
$3. So speaking of money, what we've been hearing this whole time, and certainly DeSantis put all of his eggs in the Iowa basket and trying to do well in these caucuses, is this vaunted ground game, which he actually farmed out to the Super PAC originally, that they were supposed to be, you know, the what was it called? Never Back Down PAC was going to be handling the ground game, which is an unprecedented way of dividing up the responsibilities, taking it away from the actual campaign.
I had such a great interview with them. I love that. And that's probably my favorite anecdote from this campaign so far, because they had to take down an image of the governor in uniform, right? With a gun. And I can't remember which media made him take it down, but I had him on immediately after that. And I'm like, so you backed down then, did you? Mad.
I bet they do. There's never back down, folks. Not renowned for their sense of humor.
I'm sorry. I went.
That's all right. So
went off on a tangent, but that's what talk hosts do.
So there's this whole thing where DeSantis, did he complete the full Grassley? I think he did, he says he did.
Yep. He did.
So he's got this, what they claim to be is this massive, unprecedented ground game in Iowa. He did the full Grassley, visited every county in Iowa.
All 99.
Do you see any evidence of this? And we're gonna see if this experiment to relegating responsibilities like a ground game to a super PAC that you really can't even, you're not supposed to anyway, can't control. We're going to see if this experiment pays off. What can you detect from this, you know, self-described legendary ground game that DeSantis is supposed to have?
I haven't seen any door knocking in my community where I live, but I don't think that's the relevant part. So he gets the endorsement of Kim Reynolds, the governor of Iowa. That doesn't change any minds. No one's going to vote for him because Kim Reynolds say, hey, this is my guy. But what he gets is her ground game. That's relevant. He then gets endorsed by Bob Vanderplatz of a thing called the Family Leader. And again, you may get one or two people actually voting for him because of that. That endorsement is important. That endorsement led to Rick Santorum winning. That's not taken away from the hard work that Hogan Gidley did in driving the pickup.
Hogan just runs all over. Right? He takes credit for that.
You know, listen, that doesn't happen without Vanderplas, but a big part of that is Vanderplas's ground game. So yeah. I think those two are way more important than the Super PAC, although the Super PAC will probably take credit if he does really well and will probably say, well, he should have used us more if he doesn't do really well. It's an interesting time, but I think those two endorsements give him a ground game. But let's come back to it's going to be minus 15 to minus 20 feels like with snow on the ground.
Still, those numbers. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
So, Sonny, did you want to go? Or is that? Okay, I got one for you. Okay. So yesterday, I'm in Washington, D.C. Womp, womp. I'm in the swamp. You're out in beautiful Iowa. And Trump was here yesterday. He wasn't in Iowa. Okay. Now, I've long contended that wherever Trump goes, he sucks all the oxygen out of the room, but he tended to even suck the oxygen out of Iowa, even though he was in Washington, D.C., because everyone's talking about Donald Trump and whether him not being in Iowa affects his campaign in Iowa. I think, and I may be wrong, but I'm asking you because you're on the ground there, that weaponization of government, of three-letter agencies attacking you if you don't, you know, if you like the wrong tweet or download the wrong podcast, Line Drive, or if you go on the wrong radio show, Simon Conway, and you oppose the government's political viewpoint, they're coming after you. Donald Trump's the tip of that spear because they've done it to all of us in some form or fashion. Does his appearance in Iowa help hurt him going to D.C. for the court cases? Do people see what's at stake here and they say, no, I still want that guy, even though he's not here. I know what he can do because he has a record as president. Or they're like, no, I want him in my living room. Otherwise, I'm not supporting him. Like, what's the mindset of your listeners?
Well, he's not doing living rooms as far as I'm aware.
Right. Well, yeah.
Fundraisers. But he's in Iowa today. I mean, he's in Des Moines probably right now, actually. So he's been here a lot. And people like when the candidates come. Sure. Having said that, we literally are dealing with record snow. No exaggeration. A foot of snow fell last couple of days. And then on Friday, we're going to get another 7 to 12 inches of snow. The minds of Iowans are pretty heavily focused on that. On top of that, yesterday, we had the governor's condition of the state address as well, which, interestingly, she used to do that in the morning. Like most governors do, she moved it to 6 o'clock so it would be on my show, apparently.
Yeah.
Really? God bless her.
Thank you, Doug.
She's only doing one she's doing one interview about her condition of the state. Everything else is caucus. One interview. Guess where she's going to be today?
Simon the Great Conway.
My show.
Awesome.
That's where she's coming on. So people's attention is not wholly on the presidential program, particularly right now. But they're aware that these candidates have come frequently, have crisscrossed the state, which they all have. And it is absolutely important that they do that from an Iowan's point of view.
But does do the court cases hurt or help overall, do you think?
I think they help him. I think they help him. You know, you take the civil one. If you've ever run any kind of business, right? It doesn't need to be a big, giant business. If you've run your own business, if you have been high up in the corporate world and you've been involved with the money side of it, you know this case in this civil case in New York, you know it's garbage, right? I employed accountants and they said, sign here. Okay, that's why I'm paying you the money. I will sign where you tell me to sign. Now, of course, in an organization like the Trump Organization, it's much bigger than that. But you're talking about major banks. You go borrow some money from a bank for a property, and they're going to take your word for it. No, they're not. They're going to go and appraise the property and come up with their own numbers. And if that isn't enough for you, on the documents, it actually says, go do your own due diligence. I am paraphrasing, but that's what it says on the documents. And they all got paid. They all got paid on time. No payment was ever missed. is garbage, and we all know it's garbage. And I think that helps Donald Trump because it feeds into this is a witch hunt. And if you didn't believe then, this is a witch hunt before all this stuff, you're looking at it now and you're going, you know what? I think maybe it's a witch hunt.
And all this business now with the down in the Fulton County case, all these accusations at the DA down there, and she's got this improper relationship with the special prosecutor that she appointed, and he's sucking up all these legal fees and taking vacations with the DA with that money. So the allegations go. I mean, does that kind of stuff, are people paying attention to that news when that kind of stuff erupts? That's further evidence, right, that these are witch hunts.
What they're doing is feeding into his narrative, him being former President Trump. It's like all the efforts to remove him from the ballot. Oh, yeah, we want to face Donald Trump. Can we get him off the ballot, please? It's bizarre, and it feeds into Donald Trump's actual narrative. This is a witch hunt. People are starting to buy. This is a witch hunt. And they're doing it, they being the opposition, are doing it to themselves. It's strange to see. Almost as strange as Hunter Biden showing up in Congress today.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little. I thought that was kind of like, you know, what if Tony Soprano sat in the back of a courtroom looking at everybody? That's what he was doing. Uh-huh. Remember who my dad is.
Yeah, they should have put the cuffs on him. If they had the backbone that they need, they'd have put the cuffs on him right there and then. Called the sergeant at arms. There is a congressional jail, they tell me. It's not been used very much. They should have taken him down there.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a congressional
Simon,
jail.
Yeah. I'm curious, as someone, no one knows Iowa politics quite like you do. So I am curious here what your predictions are for the night. Your 1, 2, 3 predictions. Who do you think is going to come out on top and who's second and third?
Are you doing that?
It's crystal ball stuff, and I'm not doing that. I'm not predicting it. I don't do that. And, you know, one of the reasons I don't do that is because the other thing I never, ever do is endorse anybody. I give everybody a fair crack of the whip. I don't endorse anybody. And if I start saying, well, you know, I think this is going to happen, it gets misread. So, nope, not doing that.
You should have seen our people that I think we're doing an audio version of this only, but when you said 7 to 11 more inches of snow, Sonny Joy Nelson's face was, she was so upset when you said that because she's off to Iowa and she's like, whoa,
she's
whoa,
about
hold
to,
on. What did
she's
you just
about
say?
To go there.
I don't think.
Are you coming on for the weekend?
Yes, I'll be there Sunday. So.
Well, we'll have cleared it up for you by then. It's just going to be ice cold by then.
Yeah, they're used to snow removal in Iowa.
They're pretty good.
Let me what are about the sensitivities of Iowa residents and Iowa voters? Because I think the DeSantis people and maybe Trump people picked this up, or maybe they didn't, but mostly DeSantis, as I noticed, this thing that Nikki Haley said, where she was talking to an audience in New Hampshire, and she was talking about the two and how they come one after the other, Iowa first, then New Hampshire. And she said something, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, you know, the Iowa caucuses, they'll select a winner of the Iowa caucuses, and then New Hampshire corrects it.
She said, Iowa starts it, you correct it, talking to her New Hampshire audience, and South Carolina brings it home. I had her on, I'm losing track of days, this week or last week, I don't even remember. And it's the first question I asked her. She said she was joking. It's because there's lots of ribbing back and forth between the early states. She was kidding, and she didn't mean it. Here's the thing. In Iowa, that is, if that moves a dozen people, I would be surprised. I think the fact DeSantis is pushing it is not gonna get him many votes. Let's put it that way.
It struck me as something that is fodder for social media and the various influencers set their hair on fire about it, and it affects absolutely no one. that was my read on it. Interesting.
Yep.
Well, Simon, we very, very, very much appreciate your insight and your willingness to come on here with
absolutely.
You. I know your day starts at 3 a.m. and it doesn't end until about 2:30 a.m. So you get about 30 minutes, about a half hour of sleep.
Uh-huh. It's an interesting life.
And by the way, his accent's one of my favorite ones on the radio, because when he introduces me and says the word secretary, it always sounds so official coming from Simon because of his accent. And that's a middle Des Moines accent, right? Simon?
It's an Orlando accent.
Orlando,
right? Orlando,
yeah.
First, Orlando, first, yeah. 13 years, yeah.
Can I ask before, right before we go, and we're going to let you off here.
Yeah.
How did a son of the UK find his way to Des Moines, Iowa?
Oh, well, first of all, coming to the United States was something that was born a long time ago. I'm Jewish. My ancestors were escaping the pogroms in Eastern Europe and the Baltics, and they arrived in England. They were coming here, and they ran out of money.
Hmm.
So that, for real. So that's how my immediate ancestors had got to be born in England and how I got to be born in England. But I became aware of that story very young, and I wanted to finish their journey. There was that. Then there was, for real, Apollo 13. As a very small kid, I'm glued, and I became very aware that no other nation on the face of the earth could have pulled that off. And by the way, I've asked numerous astronauts since then, we couldn't do that today. If that happened in space today, the astronauts would die, because we wouldn't allow them to lock everybody in mission control. And there was a nice fog of smoke from all the smokers. We wouldn't have allowed them to use duct tape to fix a spacecraft. And so they'd have died. That's what happened in the 60s. We wouldn't let that happen. They would die. Anyway, Apollo 13 played into it. And then the land of my birth is increasingly less free. It is not a free country. You can go to jail for words that come out of your mouth. I don't really think I need to go further than that. There's all the surveillance and everything else, but you can go to jail for words. That's pretty awful, right?
That is remarkable. I've seen some examples.
So it's
of
not
that
a free country. So this is where I was headed. I got to come here. I went to Florida because my kids loved it. I was raising my kids largely on my own. That's where my girls wanted to be. That's where we went. And then I accidentally fell into radio. That's a story for another day. And then WHO had an opening. I auditioned from something about the size of a closet in Orlando. I'd never set foot in Iowa. And the next day I'm talking to their market president, whose first comment to me was, "And you've never been to Iowa?" I'm like, "Nope, not even for a minute." He goes, "I thought you were at the State House. You are so over it." So when WHO comes calling, that's where President Reagan used to work.
Yep.
When WHO comes calling, if you're serious about talk radio, you say yes.
Amazing. Yeah. What an amazing journey. And now, having been born in the UK, where we are familiar with the monarchy, you are now the King of Iowa. How does that grab you?
Okay. I'm not the king. I'm not the king maker. It's absolute garbage. No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, anyway, you're the king of this show, and we very much appreciate your time. The great Simon Conway from the Flamethrower WHO Radio in Des Moines, Iowa. We thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We hope you're very welcome as well. Thank you. And for Hogan Gidley, Sonny Joy Nelson, I'm Tim Murtaugh. This has been the Line Drive Podcast.